Warning, this podcast contains bad words and stories about drugs and sex and overthrowing the government. Proceed with caution. Okay. Thank you. And now on to our show. Wake up, brother, we got nothing to do. Let's go outside, just me and you, and build a fort. We'll pack a lunch, won't be home till after dark. Then after dinner we can sneak back out. You know that high school girl I've been telling you about? Well, she gets undressed about a quarter to nine, and we can watch her do it from the big old pine next door. She got a room on the second floor. Well, looks like another fucked up day in paradise.
Hello, my most excellent collaborators, friends, strangers, family. You are all of those. In my meandering way, I want to tell the story of the early 2016 epiphany about what I'd been up to with this movie, Daughter of God, all along. This is a kind of unified field theory of the Daughter of God visual effects, revealed over the next couple three episodes, and which will continue to develop together as we start screening in 2018. Coming up this week on the Daughter of God cast, episode 056, Toys. Before we get into the grist, a bit of housekeeping. We're preparing to screen in 2018, which starts with test screening, trying out images and scenes from the movie, and getting feedback from all y'all. Here's my idea of how the podcast and the screen testing fit together. The podcast is primarily a conversation, arguably one-sided, a flow of stories and increasingly contemporary reportage, and as such, emphasizes the audio content. The excellent challenge is to somehow talk about what's behind what we see, describing the experience of seeing and of being in words, without relying on pictures. The test screening of the movie will happen on a separate channel, perhaps many channels, wherever feedback is easy and immediate, and we can track views. This could be just Facebook and Twitter, but I plan on evaluating whether Vimeo's video review implementation is a good fit, or I might come up with something of my own. Test screening is going to be very interactive, and whatever we learn there will be subsequently summarized here on this podcast. So that's what the future looks like. Lots of testing, pondering the results together, and then making adjustments. We're going to be having so much fun! Models, miniatures, toys. In May of 2007, episode 018, my nephew Jonathan completed a 3D cruise ship model, the first of Dog's mega props. In 2008, episode 021, he set to work on making cars for an abandoned highway scene. The tracking on the shaky live action was problematic, but we kept the scene in version 0.09 of the Trickster Pictures demo reel anyway, episode 027. Jonathan resigned as Dog's 3D artist around 2013. He explained that making 3D models and getting them to render realistically were two very distinct disciplines, and his creative path didn't include becoming a render master. If I wanted realistic mega props, I either had to hire another 3D artist, or come back up to speed on 3D rendering myself? Or was there a third option? What about miniatures? From 3D to RL. Post-production should not mean sitting at workstations endlessly staring at screens. The sedentary life is associated with severe happiness risks,
including rapid aging and flabbiness, failing eyesight from invariant focal distance, hair loss, genital shrinkage, spiritual devolution, and social media habituation.
The prospect of taking a major chunk of VFX into the real world, RL, was suddenly very attractive. I had gotten pretty good at building plastic model kits as a kid. I could revive and expand my model chops, and perhaps even get some stop-frame animation going too. I'd be using my hands, my whole body, power tools, delicate little tweezers, and actual paintbrushes. Screens would still be significant, but only for matching live action on set and final compositing. I could be manifesting mostly in RL. The first major VFX scene fleshed out with miniatures would be the opening shot, an abandoned nuclear waste repository where we meet Uncle Joe for the first time. He's biding his time in a secret lair, surrounded by oddly persistent carnage from a long-ago battle. The opening begins with three shots, each moving closer to the battle scene and Uncle Joe's hideout. A wide highway leads to a tree-covered mountain with a concrete structure inset into its base. Moving in, we see the concrete frames a tunnel with giant vault doors blasted open. There are hints about what happened here: wreckage, signage, bodies. A fierce skirmish involving armor and infantry, with an inconclusive outcome, perhaps lethal to all involved. Rusted weapons, skeletons in tattered uniforms, charred tanks and Humvees with mediatronics still flickering. Above the tunnel entrance are machine gun emplacements, M50 barrels poking out from behind sandbagged windows in the mountain bunker. The tunnel below is a blackness leading deep into the mountain. Then the black of the tunnel expands out and swallows the frame, fading into a surveillance shot of a young woman. She seems to be popping bubble wrap. A massive thumb appears over the woman and an interface with icons and text. The thumb selects from a menu, and the scene shifts to a scruffy dude dozing. There's a sperm count widget that accidentally gets activated when the dude appears, with a microscopic view of sperm wiggling. The giant thumb whisks that widget away. We pull back to see the surveillance image and interface are wrapped around a device, being held in a hand that is sticking out of the sleeve of a business suit. Cut to a far shot of a man looking down at a device. He's wearing a dark suit and fedora. Uncle Joe. In the background, we see the machine gun emplacements in reverse. He is inside the mountain bunker. He puts the device in his jacket pocket. Suddenly, we are rushing up a dark tunnel towards the light, and Uncle Joe explodes out into the carnage, riding a creaky bicycle. We see him from the vantage of the machine guns as he pedals away, swerving around debris and bodies as best he can. Nuclear Waste Repository. Way back in 2007, another nephew, Patrick, and I had filmed the live action at the Pennsylvania Turnpike's Tunnel Ventilation Complex. In a high shot from inside, we got Uncle Joe swerving his bicycle crazily away on the empty highway below. Was he swerving because he was drunk, having fun, or was there shit he was swerving around that would come later? I left my options open, but I really did want to have some shit there, horrific shit, that could be a strong contrast to a snappily dressed fellow on a rusty bike. I was pretty sure I wanted to turn the highway's tunnel location into something more epic, and a nuclear waste storage facility seemed to fit. Years back, I had followed the demise of the Yucca Mountain site, 1987 to 2011, rest in peace, a proposed underground vault for storing all of the United States' spent nuclear fuel. There's lots of problems with consolidating nuclear waste, not the least of which is generating it in the first place. Another issue would be the beefy security, and in my version of the repository, a significant military presence had been established, perhaps after some catastrophe. I imagined fighting vehicles and the means to transport and maintain them, and troops. In 2014, I started researching and acquiring detailed plastic models for this scene and all the megaprop scenes in Daughter of God. For the forgotten battle scene, I bought an Abrams tank outfitted for urban warfare and a tank carrier, a Humvee, and a Stryker NBCRV, or Nuclear Biological and Chemical Reconnaissance Vehicle. I found skeletons, weapons, and action figure uniforms in 1/6 scale, which is G.I. Joe size. During this research, I stumbled on Fiken's very realistic 1/6 scale, anatomically correct female action figures and erotic photo shoots with them. Talk about the uncanny valley. The weird thing about model building and action figures nowadays is they aren't so much for kids anymore. The model building market seems targeted to adults. What kid of today would bother with plastic kits and dolls when they could be fully immersed in first-person software simulations? Plus, these kits are expensive. Kids from the 1970s and 80s are more likely to indulge their playfulness sans budget constraints. I also stocked up on models to replace the other 3D megaprops, including several versions of cruise ships and the world's largest passenger airliner, an Airbus A380. Daughter of God is the most apocalyptic movie ever because of all the different apocalypses. Dinosaurs definitely stage a comeback, just like Godzilla and the Jurassic Park franchises. I wanted a still life of flipped cop cars near the carcass of a giant saurian, perhaps with a crushed police motorcycle in its jaws. I bought a 3-foot-long T-Rex skeleton, a rare Japanese kit of a cop Harley configured for New York City, and several die-cast police Crown Victorias without markings, one in 1/24th scale by the company Motormax. Actually, I really wanted my Honda XR650 motorcycle to be clamped in the T-Rex's jaws. I even emptied the gas tank and laid the Honda down to get some still shots for testing. The bigger die-cast Crown Vic arrived at the end of 2015. After unpacking, I opened the driver's side front door and placed the model car on a sheet of flat black set paper with an open incandescent bulb above and to the left. I took a couple of iPhone snaps. The images were stark and gritty, mundane. A surplus cop car sitting under a lamppost at dusk on some generic American street. I texted the picture to a few friends with a message, "Got a deal on this at auction." Everyone assumed it was an actual cop car. Proof of concept successful. Miniatures were easier than 3D. I bought tons of different model kits, mostly in 1/24th scale or larger, and reference books and vids on technique. Even if I didn't end up building all these kits for dog, I'd have options for kit bashing, stealing components from one kit to add detail to another, or to totally improvise if an off-the-shelf model didn't exist. December 1st, 2015, the Deep Archive. Snip. Indeed, there are so many areas I can't wait to explore as a cinematic artist. Miniatures galore and so on. I know the completing dog will provide more than enough fun and will lead to an avalanche of wondrous new experiments and adventures. So we look to what's currently on the bench. We'll need a workshop. We'll need precise tools including airbrush, compressor, paints, and a spray booth. First, we've got to assemble models, since that's what seems to be next, coming up soon. We've got to prep for model building, get everything assembled. Snip. At the start of 2016, I was doing a lot of inner work, reminding myself what living fully might feel like, recording dreams, and assessing what they reflected about my deliberate presence. I had been getting help with Chain of Title and financial catch-up with Caitlin Mateschik and Brianna Mathias. Daughter of God was becoming ever more vivid. I was catching on fire all over again. You've been unboxing a T-Rex skeleton, a die-cast cop car, a detailed styrene model kit, some assembly required, perception, participation. Episode 056 of the Daughter of God cast, Toys. Your imagination is more powerful than the slickest console game. Together, over the next couple of episodes, we'll find out how the vault doors got blown open and the inky black of the tunnel. Did something enter or escape? Is a breached nuclear waste repository a smart place to hang your fedora? How valuable will bicycle repair skills prove to be after the end of oil, black gold, Texas tea? Find out next week. Same black time, same black channel. Female action figures and erotic photo shoots with them. Talk about the uncanny valley.